Grace, mercy, and peace be with you here this day from our triune God. You know, every year at around this time in the state of Michigan, we all participate in an event that I like to call Pothole Palooza. The snow has finally melted and the roadways have now revealed all of those deep and dreadful potholes that formed over the winter months. It's amazing, don't you think, how big potholes can grow from a winter of wet and cold, of freezing and cracking. Winter cold grows potholes like spring rain grows grass and makes then familiar road trips into unexpected adventures. Today is the third Sunday of Easter. And we read here today in Luke's gospel of an unexpected event that is really found and recorded only in his gospel. And yet it is, I think, one of the most familiar road trips that we find in the Bible, the Emmaus Road. Now keep in mind, it is still that strange and startling third day. The same day that the women discovered Jesus' tomb was empty, and then they reported the message of the two angels to those remaining disciples. But the women's report did not immediately appear to those disciples as good news. In fact, their words were largely discarded and taken at just face value to be an idle tale by all but Peter and John. However, they were at least curious enough to go and to view the empty tomb for themselves. But their only response was one of amazement and not of faith. On this day of resurrection, Jesus' disciples were really on the verge of complete and total collapse. Most of them had chosen to hunker in a bunker, hiding out in the borrowed rooms that they had acquired for the Passover in Jerusalem, with the doors locked and their heads now down, sitting shiva. Others of the disciples had already started to scatter. The women had wandered away at the break of dawn to go and prepare the body, and Peter also went out on his own after hearing the women's report that he is risen. But we read here in Luke's gospel this morning that there were at least two other disciples, Cleopas and another unnamed disciple, who left town to get away from Jerusalem altogether, heading towards a nearby village called Emmaus. Faced with the tragedy of the crucifixion, they must have felt that a swift exit seemed like the best bet. So who were Cleopas and his companion? There are some scholars who suggest that this was actually a couple, Cleopas and his wife. And there are others who think that quite possibly this couple was related in some way to Jesus, maybe an aunt and uncle. But their simple 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus suddenly hit some significant potholes. As they hashed out and then rehashed all of the horrific events of that previous day, the two disciples were suddenly joined by a fellow traveler. Now, Luke immediately reveals that this was Jesus himself, but his identity remains veiled to those who were on this journey to Emmaus. So when Jesus asks the travelers what it is they are discussing, Luke's description of their initial response is a description of heartbreak. They stood still looking sad. It was as if this gigantic pothole of misery had opened up and had swallowed these two disciples, even as they tried to escape here their grief and despair. And so faced with this stranger who is oblivious to the incredible events that had gone on in Jerusalem, the two runaway disciples now are forced to speak about the unspeakable, to retell the story of Jesus' life and death and of their dashed hopes and dreams. And so when they finally finish telling Jesus here his own story in front of him, the unrecognized Jesus still does not reveal himself. Instead, he gently chides now these two disciples and reminds them that was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And then for the rest of the road trip, Jesus offers here now a running commentary on faith history, from Moses through all of the prophets and scripture. After listening to them tell the story in front of him, Jesus now gives them the blessing of telling his own story in front of them. He begins at the beginning and he ends with them, and his words fill their potholes of doubt and despair with a new resurfacing of faith and the fulfillment of God's promises. Therefore, now buoyed up by this renewed vision, the travelers approach their destination. And they invite Jesus, who is still incognito, to stay with them. And although Luke does not specify that these two disciples have arrived at home, their invitation does suggest that they had reached a familiar destination. Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over. The standard of hospitality, you see, back in Jesus' day would have been that if you had a place and provisions for an evening meal, that you would invite your traveling companions to join you in your home. So after a polite protest, Jesus does finally agree. And then he takes the unprecedented step of usurping now Cleopas' place. And he becomes the one to play host at the table. He is the one who takes the bread, blesses it, and then offers that blessing to them. And it is at that moment at the table, in the breaking of the bread, when Jesus' true identity is finally revealed to these two refugee disciples. For when they see the wounds in his hands as he passes to them the bread, then we are told they recognize him. In the moment that their eyes are opened to see the Lord right there in their midst, that is the time where Jesus disappears. So opting for a go-to meal, these two disciples now immediately retrace their steps back to Jerusalem and to the joyous regathering of Jesus' other followers. When they finally arrive back in the city, they find a wholly different situation taking place. Instead of despair, they found the 11 and their companions gathered together, and they were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." The journey to Emmaus is really the journey of everyone, everywhere. Each of us is ultimately looking for a safe passage to a safe place. For some of us, being safe simply means having a place to sleep, food on the table, and a shirt on our back. For others of us, being safe requires something more: a neighborhood that is safe, a place for our children to learn and to play. And still for others, safety must also include things like a 401k, a good credit score, a manageable mortgage, a car that runs, and an insurance card that pays out something. These are all totally reasonable, rational, respectable visions of the safety that we seek. but there are also all potential potholes. Each and every one of these safety nets can come crumbling down around us due to erosion, stress, fractures, harsh environments, and wanton destruction. These two disciples who fled Jerusalem and who traveled towards Emmaus were looking for a safe haven. But they didn't find it where they expected, in Emmaus, at home. They found safety on the way. They found safety on the road. They found safety in the dangers of honest doubt and despair, and in facing their fears. They found safety when they stood still looking sad and tried to explain to a stranger why their lives had been subjected to both divine elevation and devastation. But they didn't have the ability to utter and to understand their experience until they faced head on the questions of the risen Jesus, the resurrected one who came to them as a questioner first. Jesus' questions to these two disciples triggered them to relive and to re-examine their faith after the crucifixion and to cross new thresholds of understanding. Jesus is the master questioner. Questioning is what opens up our minds and our hearts to new pathways of faith and forges in us new pathways of trust. In the Jewish tradition, faith is always defined by learning, not by knowing. And learning cannot take place, you see, without questions. Scripture and the Talmud are always studied with others. It is learned with at least one other person present so that questions might be asked. Jesus met his runaway disciples on that Emmaus road so that he might ask them the right questions that would ignite their passion and combust their trust. He then disappeared in order to spur them on to new questions whose answers they had to seek back in Jerusalem. Of course, today we are now bombarded with all sorts of questions. In the midst of this current pandemic, we ask the questions, when can we return back to what's more normal? What should we do about things like immigration and national security? How should we invest our savings in order to best help now our families in the future? How can we best keep our families safe at this time? We want signs and safety signals to let us know what we should do. Those Emmaus Road disciples got their sign only after they crawled out of their pothole, the one of despair, and kept walking with Jesus towards home. And when they arrived, they offered him an invitation to join them at the table, at a meal. It was as Jesus handed out the bread that his nailed, scarred hands would have been exposed. It was at that moment that his runaway disciples finally recognized who he was. It was at that moment that his disciples realized that they needed to ask their own questions. So what about you? Are you missing the moment? Are you not recognizing Jesus when he appears to you? Are you not hearing Jesus speak to you, even if it's not with words, even if it's in an unexpected place with unexpected people? You know, there's an ancient Japanese art form that is known as kintsugi. And that is when a pottery bowl that has been broken is then put back together again with lacquer that is dusted with either gold, silver, or platinum. The result is that the previously broken piece of pottery is now reborn as this new and unique creation. The fragments and the lines, the fractures and the potholes are all now filled in with a new substance, a brilliant, beautiful, transforming substance, bringing the broken shards together into a whole new and beautiful creation. That's what the Emmaus Road did for Jesus' two disciples. Brokenness became a new rebound and reborn wholeness that was stronger, that was more beautiful, and that gleamed with a light that had never before been revealed. So I would invite you here this week, as you are sequestered there in your homes, to find new questions to ask. That's where you'll find Jesus. Look for the signs of brokenness in people, in places, in the world. That's where you'll find Jesus. Amen.